the OTB Podcast Network.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
I'm delighted to say Dermot Corrigan is with us this morning as well. Dermot, good morning to you. How are you doing?
Hey, Dermot, how's it going?
Yeah, good. Before we get into the La Liga situation, how is life in Spain? It seems like there's been some minor reduction in the quarantine that you guys have been sitting through.
Yeah, over the last week or so, the government have relaxed a little bit the restrictions. It's still quite restrictive, but we're allowed out for a walk. It was 7 weeks where we weren't really supposed to leave the house except to go to the shop. So we here were inside the, just to the little bit of garden we have was as far as we were going with the kids. Whereas now you're able to bring them for a walk. Went out for a run for the first time in 7 weeks at the weekend as well. So bit by bit, there's a feeling of things opening up. Obviously, it depends on how things go. And there's still most of the shops are closed. Most people are working from home, the people who can. But there's a feeling maybe that heading out of the restrictions and hopefully that things are heading in the right direction.
And is that contingent on the figures continuing to come down? And how are what has the trend in the figures been like over the last couple of days?
Yeah, for sure. The figures are like it's weird to be talking about things in a positive way when they're still, you know, it's still quite high. But the figures were up at like 1,000 people a day were dying, which was awful. They've come down to like 200, something around that. They pop up and down, but they're heading in the right direction, which is allowing the hospital seem to be able to handle what they need to at the moment. Because there were, like in Madrid here, they opened up a field hospital in a big conference center. What was turned over into a makeshift hospital. A big ice rink was turned into a morgue for a while. There was those type of things which were pretty spectacularly concerning and awful, really. Whereas they have been closed now, so the hospital system seems to be able to handle what it needs to at the moment, which is allowing for the little bits of opening up to happen.
While all that was happening, the conversation around football was happening as well. And you know, it's obviously a very difficult conversation for anybody to have, but the importance of football as an economic driver in Spain kept being spoken about. So it was like a significant number of jobs, a significant amount of money that will help to restart the economy from a television perspective, from a revenue perspective, from the gambling companies. They were like, look, this is all very difficult for us to talk about, but we kind of need to get this back up and running. So was the political pressure coming from was the pressure coming from the political side as opposed to football, or did football find that they had common ground with the politicians in trying to get the game back as soon as possible?
Yeah, more of the second one, I'd say. Like La Liga president Javier Tebas is a very smart guy, and he was out in front of it, really, that as soon as everything shut down, he was talking about how important football was, how much it's like 1.3% of the entire GDP of the country, according to La Liga anyway, is generated by football. There's thousands and thousands of jobs. I don't have the figure here. And he was quickly saying that we're going to have to bring it back. If we can't play these 11 games that are left, it's going to be huge, that clubs are going to go out of business, that it's just unsustainable to have it. We saw at Barcelona there was a bit of a row between the players and the board over how they were going to impose wage cuts, and the players ended up kind of taking over that as well, which was huge news here. It was like headline news. So football was front and center in how maybe society was dealing with coronavirus, or the impact that it was having on different parts. And the Spanish sports minister, because football in Spain, the different authorities are always at war between, especially the Federation and La Liga, that came out that one would have one plan, another would have another plan. They'd be criticizing each other in the headlines. The sports minister kind of knocked them together and got them to come up with a protocol they've talked about to be able to bring football back. And she was quite open about saying that it would be a good thing to get football back, even if it is just on the TVs, that people can, she said, sit around the TV and watch it. It'll bring people together, be something to talk about. And it would be a sign that at least if we have games to watch on the TV and to talk about in the media and everything, that will be a sign that we're on the path back to normality. The health guys weren't quite as keen on that. There was a little bit of strife between the health minister and the sports minister, or behind the scenes anyway. But they've been able to work out a plan which sees players in protesting today, and they're hoping to roll out a phased return that will get games back by the middle of June.
Can we just tease out what that difficulty from the health perspective was, because that's the thing really that everybody's concerned about, you know, that there's going to be a second wave and that getting people back to work early is going to bring a second wave, and that's going to be catastrophic for the health system and for the economy into the future, because that's at that point there's no kind of like, oh, it'll be grand, we know what we're doing. It's like, you get one shot at this. So what were the concerns? Did any of that leak out into public about what the health minister was specifically concerned about?
The biggest problem was more around the availability of tests, because there's a lot of people in Spain who would like to get tested, especially people working in supermarkets or in the health system, or people who are in whose jobs are more important than footballers, I guess. Whereas La Liga were able to source tests through a German company, I think it was, but in a private way, so they were going to set it up themselves, and that just didn't look so good when the health system was struggling to get enough testing and to get enough of the equipment that they needed. That's not such a big deal at the moment, is my understanding, because the situation is more under control, which means that the health system have withdrawn the concerns that they had, or have taken the block off it. And football was even mentioned by in the briefings of the health, I'm not sure he's the health minister, but the guy from the government who gives the health briefings every day was asked about football and said that it would be possible that they'd found a way to allow the tests to go ahead, and for the players to be able to get it, even though, you know, there's still people who maybe in more important jobs who would like to get tested.
Right. So even on the pitch, the health professionals in Spain are fairly confident that things will be safe, actually proceeding with the games and actually having a full game of 22 players on the pitch will actually be okay and won't pose any extra risk to players or any unnecessary risk to players.
Nobody's gone quite that far to say it. Okay. Everybody's been quite... there's a lot of talk about phased rollouts and phase one and phase two, phase three, phase four. And there's a big document produced by La Liga in association with the health authorities, but it seems to be La Liga who maybe wrote most of the document and then got it signed off on by the health authorities. And that means that, like, when the players go back, they're being tested in their cars this week. So they roll up to the training ground and get tested through the car window, and then they go home, and then, you know, within 48 hours or so they should have the results of that, allowing them to restart training either maybe on Friday or early next week, where they just go in and go for a run around the training ground on their own. They don't come into contact with anybody. And then bit by bit, it's built up into small groups working together, always on the hope kind of that everything continues to go in the same direction, and that there's less, I don't know, it's kind of facetious to say, but maybe less coronavirus around, so there's less chance of people being infected or of picking it up on the way to the shops or whatever, and then bringing it into the training center. But it's all very... it's impossible to say at the moment. It's all based on kind of a positive scenario or best case scenarios. They're starting to go back in the hope that they'll be able to do it, rather than saying that, you know, in 6 weeks' time it'll be fine and we're sure that you'll be able to run around and, you know, challenge for headers and all that a football game involves. That it's all hopeful rather than anybody making any promises about what might happen.
It's interesting that La Liga have put together this document and got the government and the health professionals to sign off on it, rather than taking instruction and making their plan as a result of what the government may give them. Isn't it that's fairly proactive from everybody involved in La Liga?
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, La Liga president Javier Tebas is a divisive figure. Maybe in some ways he's a guy who's often in the headlines, who talks a lot, who's very forceful in his opinions about what's good for Spanish football, and he's a guy who can get things done. You know, he's brought in a lot of changes in Spanish football. He's professionalized it a lot, and he's not afraid of a challenge, really. He's taken this on, taken a real leadership kind of role in this. Not everybody is super happy with that, and there's been some blowback from different people, but even from talking around to clubs and to people close to the players, everybody seems to be happy to allow La Liga to take a leading role on it, and for them to be the ones who put in place the plan, and then other people will go along with that. The health system, I think, I don't know. I haven't been in that much contact with the health system, so I'd be kind of assuming what they're doing, but they're so busy that they're not going to be putting in a special plan for football at the minute. But when their people had a look at the plan, they agreed for it to go forward in the initial stage, at least.
How did the players feel about this, Dermot?
Yeah, it's changed a lot because, you know, football was badly hit at the start. Remember the Valencia game that they played against Atalanta in Milan, which, you know, people talked about as a biological bomb, or there was a lot of it had a bad effect. And then the Atletico Madrid game in Anfield, that people worried that a lot of people got infected at that as well. And there were Valencia had some players, like 35% of Valencia's first team players and staff tested positive for it. So there were a lot of people saying, you know, footballers can't be the guinea pigs for this, or footballers are, you know, we all have families too. We have, you know, maybe older relatives or family members who are in high risk situations who have illnesses. So they were very against it at the start. It didn't look like it was going to be possible at all. But bit by bit, as the weeks have gone past, and especially as over the last week, as things have started to open up here, the people I've been talking to anyway, close to the players, have said that the players, they realize that they have to get back to work, that their livelihoods depend on it, that there's no, they can't just say that's it, we're not going to play, that that's not a realistic option for them, really. There have been a couple of people, Rafinha at Celta Vigo, used to play for Barcelona, says he won't play until there's a vaccine found for it, and a couple of other players as well. But generally, the players aren't going out and doing too many interviews about it. They don't want to be seen to be disrespecting anybody or to be making too many steps in public, but in private they kind of accept that, well, it's our job and we're gonna have to go back to it, always with the understanding that all the tests are done and that everything is done as much as possible. They realize that there's some risk involved in everything, and people are taking risks, whether they're working in the supermarket or delivery guys or bus drivers or whoever, and that they're going to have to do it too.
When do you actually think there would be, under this plan, what's the likelihood of there being a game, at what date?
Well, the hope is for the 11th of June has been talked about as a time where there might be a game. But it's very difficult to anybody who tells you for sure that that's going to happen, you know, doesn't really know, because it all depends on what happens. But that's what they're working towards at the moment. And if the figures or the numbers continue to fall, and if the situation appears to be under control, you know, there's talk of bars and restaurants opening up quite soon here. Shops are bit by bit, hairdressers are open here this week. So if things continue to go like that and we're heading back towards some kind of, you know, the new normal, as people are kind of saying about it a little bit, then it seems possible that there might be games within the month of June.
Which would be an incredible turnaround from where we were three, 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, it's going to be weird. Like I spoke to, just for one of the pieces I did for The Athletic, I spoke to a guy from a fans group and they're against it. Like the idea of playing the games behind closed doors, he talked about it as like a reality TV show more than a football league, that it's just going to be different. Like even to imagine, you know, how the players, what motivation they're going to have, whether what happens when maybe some of their squad members can't play because they're in quarantine and they have to play itself. It's going to be really unique kind of situation if it does happen to roll out. It's going to be fascinating to see. Everything is kind of weird at the moment to be talking about it like this, but the hope on the behalf of La Liga and on behalf of the clubs and of a lot of the players is that they're willing to get involved in the process and to push it forward and to move in that direction and to try and play the games.
Last question. Do you think Spain then will become a template for other countries around Europe that like it seems like there's a bit of a race on at the moment between the Premier League, La Liga and even the Bundesliga to get football back as soon as they possibly can. I guess those football authorities and those health authorities are looking at what everybody else is doing to try and see what the best practice is or what mistakes are being made.
Yeah, for sure. Like you saw at Crystal Palace, a chairman, I think, is it Steve Parrish? He was talking about how, you know, football needs to come back as well in England, and using La Liga and using Javier Tebas as an example of people who were working towards it and something that they would like to follow. Yeah, like in we've been watching very closely what's going on in Germany here, who are a little bit ahead with the tests, and we saw, you know, Kalou yesterday maybe making a little bit unfortunate video and that could have a setback, and everybody is watching everybody else. But there's a feeling, I guess, in Spain and I guess in England, in lots of leagues as well, that football can't, if the games aren't played, the football is going to be very difficult to survive. It's going to, you know, have huge consequences. Clubs are going to go bankrupt. Players' contracts are going to just have to be terminated. And they don't want that to happen at all. So they're trying to find a way to avoid that. And if it does work in Spain, then I guess other people will try to follow that example.
All right. Good stuff. Thanks very much for joining us this morning, and stay well. Thanks a million.
Yeah, you guys too. Nice to talk to you.
OTB AM. This is OTB Sports Radio.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.